from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another Locked On Chiefs. This is your draft edition for Friday night. Kansas City ended up making three selections, even though they ended up using four picks to make those three selections. And we will just jump right in. Their first pick, Mecole Hardman, picked him at 56. I want both of your guys' opinions. We have Seth with us tonight as well. No way they make this pick if Tyreek Hill doesn't get in trouble 2 months ago, right?
I don't know.
At least not this guy.
Yeah, it's really tough to say. It's interesting. Brad Kelly, a wide receiver coach who writes for the Draft Network, is a guy that I talk to occasionally, and he loves this guy, like loves him. And it's really difficult to get a good gauge on Georgia receivers, right? Because they run the ball a ton. They don't ask them to do a, you know what I mean? There's a limited role there. So I have no idea. I mean, they love speed, but let's face it. This looks like a, you know, maybe we would have taken a receiver anyway, but this looks like a replacement pick. The writing is now on the wall for Tyreek Hill, as if we didn't know that. But I mean, this is it. I mean, Ryan, is that where you're landing? Like this is, it's going down probably just when the draft ends.
Yeah, I have to think so too. And, you know, I put out some graphics about the matrix there before the draft started. And what it showed is this guy is wide receiver 8 at the Athletic Matrix, and no one is as well-rounded as Tyreek Hill is. Moving on from him, though, you can try to get some of his play style in either trying to stretch the field deep with speed or trying to get short area quickness, you know, guys that can do whip routes and that kind of thing. Mecole Hardman's one of the few people in this draft that can do both,
right,
and are effective at it. And I think I personally had Paris Campbell above him because he's another guy that can do both.
Yep.
But I think Mecole, it was high on the list of guys that can try to emulate what they do with Tyreek Hill in a successful way.
Well, and the bigger thing for me is that his upside, I think, may be even higher than Campbell's. And I say that just because of the fact that he is still learning the position, much like Tyreek was when he came to Kansas City. Sure. So I do think that his upside may be the reason that they jumped up when they did. And if you look at who was drafted after them, wasn't it like the next three or four picks were wide receivers, or three of the next four picks were wide receivers, including Paris Campbell?
There was quite a run that happened right after there for sure. Although still no Hakeem Butler, which is like, that blows my mind personally.
Or Kelvin Harmon, which I understand is not in the same athletic matrix as Butler, but those are two wide receivers that I both thought were going in the second round probably.
Right. And then you had people who thought DK Metcalf would go like in the first 15, and he dropped. Right.
Well, and so let's learn this lesson, folks. Guys who can't do change of direction like Hakeem Butler and DK Metcalf are not highly sought after, no matter how fast they run down the field.
I think that's pretty accurate. And that's one thing that I think, looking at the little bit of Hardman that I've looked at so far, he's not, like you said, he's not just fast, he's quick. You need someone who's quick if you want to get separation on anything but, you know, 8 and 9 routes at the NFL level, right? You need someone who can actually be fast in and out of their breaks and that kind of thing. One interesting thing that I'm seeing, and I want to watch quite a bit more film on him to see if I can get kind of a handle on this. He played corner for a long time.
Yep.
And it's only the last few years that he's been a wide receiver. And so, like you said, he's still learning the position. What's interesting to me is a couple of the guys that I've seen reviewing his film, one thing that they've talked about is the fact that he's very, very aware of coverage. He's very aware of how the coverage is shaping up around him and moves accordingly. And that would make sense. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, in my notes, the other thing that I point out, it comes from that as well. He's very aware of how to stack a corner, because he's had to play the opposite side of that.
Right.
And whether he's going, I question a couple of things that he does. He does stutter a little bit. He takes a couple of false steps before he actually gets where he's going from time to time. But how he manipulates corners and plays the actual aggression, especially in man, I really do like.
And that's a big deal. And the Chiefs, again, you know, the speed and the quickness, those are the things that you can't teach necessarily. You can always try to improve with, you know, route running and stuff. Those are things you can't teach. Now, the thing that separates Tyreek Hill is his ability to track the ball in the air and adjust and come up with contested catches for a small guy, I would be stunned if Hardman was as good at that, because Hill is amazing at that.
But, well, and that's like, one thing that how do you really teach that? I mean, that's also a given ability. I think there is something right. that you can do to work on it, but it's not something that you can really learn very well. You're not going to improve on it to the aspect of where Tyreek Hill has been in right. that regard, because he's been fantastic at it.
Well, odds are, look, the reality is, no matter who they picked, they could have picked Hollywood Brown, right? Odds are they weren't going to get as good a receiver as Tyreek Hill, because Hill is one of the best five receivers in the NFL and one of the best athletes in the NFL, if not one of the best athletes the NFL has seen in the last 20 years. And so sure. you can't replace that. And Ryan, you alluded to that. You can't replace it all the way. But if you can replace someone that can do a lot of the same things, then the offense doesn't necessarily take the same hit that it would have otherwise. Now, they can't build it around him like they can build it around Hill, but they can have him running a bunch of posts and a bunch of goes and a bunch of, you know, drags and kind of those things that will help the route combinations. And I think you can do that and keep the offense as a whole from taking a big step backward, if that makes sense.
I agree. The one thing I want to go back and check the film on is, does he run the jet stuff? Can he do the behind the line of scrimmage things? Or are they still looking to try to find someone who can do that in this offense? Because I feel like that's a staple of this offense at this point, not just because it's Tyreek Hill.
I think that makes sense.
I do like the pick. I just question whether or not it was earlier than he would have probably gone.
I did have him in the third just on my board, and I know that was general. The three people that I focus on, that I trust their scouting on film, all felt that was a just range. So, you know, I won't say that they reached for him, because I think he has enough of a resume to project that he can be a number one wideout. But it is a little higher than I had him.
Yeah, I think so too. And it was especially surprising, I think, for people that they traded up, given that from all appearances, he might have fallen to them. Now, it's for a fifth round pick, so I don't really care, but it's at least worth noting, especially when the Chiefs don't have a fourth round pick. And so that really, that does mess with you maybe a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I like the pick considering where they're at. The Chiefs offense is predicated around speed, and they still, by adding him in, they still have a ton more speed than almost any other team.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, you look at what that pick is going to mean for this team. As we've already talked about, you cannot replace Tyreek Hill, but they did need that speed. And it gives you another wide receiver to put next to Sammy Watkins that has speed that I think is really going to help. You know, you look at how this draft shook out. I wasn't so sure that they weren't going to go wide receiver again in the third round. And I know we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but it's just interesting to me because I thought wide receiver was a need before the Tyreek Hill situation. Mm-hmm. And now that they replaced Tyreek Hill, I still think it's a need. Or replaced him as much as they're going to be able to. I still think that position is a need, but they went a different direction with their second pick. And I know, Seth, you liked the guy a little bit more in Adderley, but that's not the direction they went. Adderley went a couple of picks before to the Chargers.
Yes, and I think before I start ranting on that, because it's going to take me a while to rant on that, I think we should probably take a break.
It's like it's draft night. Okay. The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now, and we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft. So before you start your rant, let me just set you up. I know you did Adderley versus Thornhill, and then some of us, sorry, I'll raise my hand, asked you to throw in Savage.
Yes.
Because I had Savage above Thornhill, actually. But I know you've looked at this film. What did you go into the draft thinking of him?
I don't mind. I never minded Thornhill. Out of the three, Adderley, Savage, and Thornhill, I thought that Thornhill was the least impressive of the three that I watched. He plays all over the place. He from deep safety to strong safety to slot corner, even on the boundary a few times, mm-hmm. to all over the place. And that's great. I guess for me, I don't know. I didn't quite see it. I don't see great change of direction in him. And at times it didn't seem like he had great acceleration. Now here's the deal. I saw flashes. He's got good ball skills. He looks sticky in coverage at times. So I see flashes. He seems to tackle pretty well. But, you know, my crush, I think everyone knew, was Nasir Adderley. And they could have had him, guys. They could have had him. They could have stayed at 61, drafted Adderley, and probably drafted Hardman at 63 or 60, whatever. And, sure. And I would have been so happy, guys. And I'm just not, I hope to be proven just stupidly wrong about Thornhill. And he comes in and he just lights it up, and they talk about his versatility, the fact that he can line up anywhere. And, you know, I guess maybe I am just all Bob Suttoned out. I'm tired of hearing about how safeties can line up everywhere. It's like, I don't care.
Here's my thing, though. I understand why you don't care, and I get it. But at the same time, I like it, and here's why.
Well, then because that shows that you don't get it. No, I'm kidding.
Fair enough. You say what you want, sir. No, but I like it because it basically gives them another safety, a lot like Matthew, that is going to be able to move around and do whatever they want to do with, and that makes them less predictable. And I think that is going to be a good thing for them.
It does, and again, this is all said with the caveat of me hoping that I'm way off. Because again, I liked him, but I didn't love him. I loved Adderley and Savage, right? And I just liked Thornhill. It's not like I hated him. My thing is, though, like when you compare him with Matthew, and we've talked about this, is you've got guys who are great at everything. And then you got guys that just did everything, but weren't great at anything. And I'm afraid that that's Thornhill. That's what my fear is. And then to me, if that's the case, he's not Matthew. He's Eric Murray. And I don't need any more Eric Murrays in my life.
Ooh, easy.
Wow, that's dropping some, man, that's dropping some bows.
I don't want to turn into the science nerd, but I will. Let's talk athleticism. Here's the thing that I like about Juan Thornhill, and I'll tell you exactly why, because it's not just athleticism, but he is the number one in the athletic matrix for every safety in this draft.
That's big.
And he is also the number one in hawk rate. He produced the most INTs and passes defensed of any safety in this draft class. And those two things are my number one and number two criteria. And even though I had him ranked just below Adderley, Adderley had a smaller sample size and had a competition thing that I was a little bit wary on. Juan Thornhill has been reported to be able, like you said, to move all over the field. The thing that is going to be come down to me is, can you let him loose? Can you let him attack the ball? Can you simplify his role enough, his reads enough, that he can use that athleticism and his natural ball skills to get you the ball back?
And that sounds cool. I'm just saying.
Come on, be more excited than that. I'm kind of pumped.
I am excited. I love that they addressed the secondary.
You don't sound excited.
You know, it's been a long few days, man. This Tyreek Hill situation, I have been on more local and national radio things this week talking about child protection cases, and I'm so tired of it. I'm just tired of it, man. I'm tired of it in my daily life, and I'm tired of it in this stuff. And so that's
How you can fix that?
By saying no.
Stop being a Minnesota law dog.
There you go.
I've been thinking about it. Here's the thing with Thornhill. If they are right about him, it is a huge upgrade for the Chiefs and such a big deal to improve the secondary. Now, still a little curious about corner, but we can talk about that in a minute. But yes, I'm excited about him. I'm excited about Hardman. I think both are guys that can be impact guys this year, whereas last year's draft was more about future years. And so I think that's nice that they got guys that are like kind of instant, like these are guys that we can plug and play, I think. So we'll see. And then I really like the third rounder that they took, Saunders.
He is a heartwarming story.
He is. And anytime, if you weigh 320 and you can do backflips and Therese Paylor likes you, that's all I need to know, man. That's it.
And draw the
bro, I'm 250. I can't do back bends.
Yeah, and he made Therese Paylor's all-juice team, which means 5 years in a row, Paylor's had somebody that the Chiefs have picked on the all-juice team. That's fantastic for that streak to continue. I do think that was a very interesting pick because I didn't think that they were going to be going defensive line. I do think that Saunders is going to be a player that can step in and give them value, but I expected them to go CB or a different position.
He's got some quickness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He played edge on some of his film.
He played fullback in high school.
Right.
He rushed for 800 yards.
The fullbacks can do everything. You just need 11 of them.
Don't get him started, please.
You know, if only we'd taken a couple more fullbacks. But I was looking at Brugler's draft guide, and like he legit, like he scored like 7 touchdowns as a senior in high school. He was like a legit offensive weapon. It's the funniest thing. I've got to find film of that because I'm going to write about him, obviously. And so I'm excited.
No.
I'm excited for him. I know it sounds like I'm more excited for him than I am for Thornhill. My hope is that I looked at Thornhill as a guy that was maybe more of like a third safety kind of guy. My hope is that rangy athleticism and ball hawking that we saw, that we saw in spurts from Thornhill, if that's who he really is, he'll be a huge, huge addition for the secondary in terms of providing very much needed range and ball hawking. And again, Hardman, I think he's a guy that they're going to plug into the offense fairly quickly. You know, with Andy Reid, it takes time, but I think they can plug him in. And like what you said, Chris, I think you can plug in Saunders to rush a little bit from the three tech spot when Jones needs a breather.
Yeah. And
I'll tell you this too. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that would be something that they really need. And, they're really building up that interior offensive or the interior of defensive line. One thing that we haven't had a chance to really talk to you about this, Seth, is, you know, you look at how, and I know we want to continue to talk about Saunders, but going with that defensive line, you look at how this draft shook out. And if the Chiefs don't trade for Frank Clark, there's no chance they get a D end.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. Yeah,
and now you're sitting here with a guy that, yeah, he's not going to play DN for you, but he can get after the passer, and he's going to be able to spell Chris Jones, which is a huge thing because Jones doesn't need to play 90% of the snaps. Yeah, it'd be great for him to play, you know, 65-70% of the snaps, but he doesn't need to play 90.
Right.
And you can still have somebody that's in there that's going to be productive.
Yeah, in all hopefulness, because, yeah, they didn't have anyone like that on the roster. They didn't have any sort of three tech. You know, they got Williams and Noddy, and both of those guys are more suited for kind of that one tech kind of nose tackle spot. And then they had Jones. And I mean, it was not looking great after that. And so.
See, I disagree. Yeah. I think Noddy can play the three just fine. I think Noddy showed us enough explosion that he can play that penetrator three tech. Okay.
But he wouldn't.
But
if he's playing one tech opposite Jones, they're not going to slide him over to give Jones a breather and keep the bigger guy in. Be like, man, I know our 300 pounder is winded, but I bet our 330 pounder is feeling fresh as a daisy. They all are, right? I just don't see them. I don't see them rotating it like that. I think Noddy can do some things like that, but I don't think they'll have him doing it much.
I love the talk that you guys are having, but we do need to take another quick break.
No.
Just want to throw that out real quick. And when we come back, we will finish the talk on the draft. Because right now, as it stands, Kansas City doesn't have a pick until the sixth round. And that is
I'm sleeping in.
Not a great situation, but it is what it is. We will be right back.
We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time and keep it locked on, Chiefs.
All right, Ryan, you're going to sleep in, huh? That's your answer.
Holy smokes. So I know that I'm like just, you know, taking over by talking about this. So Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Julian Love
are still on the board.
And Deontay Thompson are still on the board.
Yeah, Deontay Thompson is surprising to me.
Yeah. I mean, man.
Really? He melted down the last four games of his college career.
Yeah, but still. No, I don't know. I didn't have a good comeback. So, I mean, here's an interesting thing to note, really. With the defense as things stand right now, the front four now consists of, you probably have as your starters, you know, Clark, Jones, Nnadi, and Okafor. Now, I know some people think Speaks will beat out Okafor. I don't think they signed him for 3 years, 18 mil, to come off the bench. That would surprise me, but maybe. Plus, he was a million times better than Speaks last year, but I mean, that's...
there's that.
Yeah, there's that. Then you've got Ogba as a rotational guy who played a ton of snaps last year in Cleveland. It didn't suck. And as far as rotational guys go, that's usually the most you can hope for, unless you're like the Eagles and you have 48 people, right? And so then you've got, now as your depth guys, you know, you've got Ogba and Speaks as your depth guys on the edge. I'm not including Passanio because it doesn't seem like they are. And then as your depth guys along the interior line, you've got Xavier Williams, who's competent. And now Saunders, who, you know, he'll be a rookie, but he looks like he can provide a little bit of pop here and there. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs front four has gone from, oh my God, we're in a lot of trouble, to like, because it was Chris Jones and then nothing. Like, well, when
they really like Justin Hamilton too, so I don't know that he makes the team at this point.
Yeah,
I gotta question that. Yeah,
I mean, and I know they really like the guy, but with the depth that they're going to have, I mean, Williams or Hamilton are not going to make this team. They can't keep both of them, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But it's just interesting how, you know, the front seven was such a big concern, and I know they're still concerned about the linebackers for sure. Although I'm really not that concerned about Hitchens in this system or Dorian O'Daniel. I am concerned.
And I don't think the team is.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Wilson, but I think he'll do okay. I think he again hits that doesn't suck like level. And so it's just interesting though, how that front went from like, because then when they moved on from Ford and Houston, and it was like, oh my God, it is Chris Jones and like nothing. Like, to the point, like signing a competent player like Okafor was like, oh, thank God. You know, and now with Clark, and now with grabbing Saunders, and with grabbing Ogba, I mean, we've gone from having to try to talk ourselves into, oh, maybe they're building from the back forward, because it's like, what are they doing? To like, no, they really are trying to use the Steve Spagnuolo, this is how I won Super Bowls, overwhelming teams at the line of scrimmage, right?
Well, and that's, and honestly, if you look at the way to beat Tom Brady and some of the best QBs in the NFL, it's interior pressure. So that is going to be very beneficial for the Chiefs moving forward as well. My question is, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I missed the last couple of picks of the third round, so maybe I'm wrong. Mac Wilson's still sitting out there, right?
I think so. I don't
checking,
know.
Checking.
Yeah. Yeah, well, here, let me, you know, as Ryan vamps, or as he does that, let's say so it just got reported.
Mac Wilson is available.
Veach said that they had all three of the players they drafted as high second round picks. You know, it's a tradition like none other. We still managed to get our guy, you know, and that right? is.
We got super value.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's one of those stupid things. But here's the interesting thing, okay, so. All right, so they grabbed Matthew and drafted Juan Thornhill, and with Armani Watts getting healthy again, and then, you know, him and Sorensen fighting it out for that third safety spot, I would assume. So safety's been by and large addressed, right? With Matthew and Thornhill and Watts getting healthy and Sorensen now being a third or fourth guy, right? That's not controversial. Are you guys cool with that group?
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Good.
Okay, so safety's gone from a disaster to, hey, you know, to good, like we're okay with it, to tentatively like, this could be real good. This could be a strength of the team.
Hey, by the way, Seth,
Yeah.
Your boy Nate Taylor just tweeted out, Brett Veach said everyone in the war room was smiling about the depth of the Chiefs' defensive line. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
That's because Nate and I are like, you know, oh, Veach also just called Thornhill a free safety with playmaking skills. So that I like that. I have been told by everyone I trust that when Thornhill, especially like at the Senior Bowl, I guess, when he was asked to just play deep safety, that he looked way like that, that he looked a little faster. It looked like that athleticism came through. So great. So we're comfortable with safety now after that was a disaster. Defensive line, we're like, yeah, let's go. This is like the strength of the team, right? Linebacker, we're okay with. We're not thrilled with, but we're okay with. Corner.
Yeah, I don't think you were really going to get all of that fixed in 1 year. Is where I go with the linebacker situation. I just don't think that you can fix the defensive line the back end of the roster with switching to 4-3 and get all those players. So I'm okay with the linebackers they're going to have this year. I expect it's going to be something they're going to address next year.
Right. So here's my question. Do we think the Chiefs are comfortable with their cornerback situation?
More so than they should be.
You think so?
I think they have more faith in Travis Warren than I do.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sold on that.
Yeah.
And here's one of the reasons. You look at that Frank Clark deal. It is structured like all of their other contracts. They're putting like $30 million in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically left open money for this year. Why they did that? Don't know, but they did. Mm-hmm. So everybody's been talking about how Patrick Peterson and Chris Harris are on the block right now. I'm not going to be shocked if something happens.
I'm just not sure.
Yeah, neither of them have moved, right?
Right.
And honestly, Chris Harris isn't going to be somebody that they're going to ship to Kansas City. But Patrick Peterson, I mean, you would think that they would have wanted a draft pick. You would have thought that they would have wanted a draft pick this year. But at this point, it doesn't seem like he really wants to be there. So,
well, and they drafted a safety.
Traded.
I mean, they're doing there at safety what the Chiefs are doing at wide receiver. They're preparing for the future without their star.
Well, but they drafted Murphy too. So,
yeah, corner. Oh,
Murphy.
Ryan's just saying things. Like,
no, I was a little confused when he said safety.
He meant
but yeah,
corner.
I think he meant corner.
I meant corner. I'm sorry. Yes, I have Taylor Rapp on the brain.
hey, where's that Twitter? Hey, Ryan, where's that
Twitter? If you're listening, Twitter, you sons of people. I need an edit button.
Yes. So I'm just curious because, you know, they got Ward. They picked up what's his name from the AAF that spent time with them from last year.
Keith Reeser.
Yes. I get paid to do this, by the way, to not remember names. So I just
that guy.
Yeah.
Just say that guy.
Yeah,
next
that
time.
Guy that did the stuff with the thing.
Right.
So I'm just curious. Bashaud Breeland, when the Chiefs were bringing him in last year, prior to the season starting, everyone was like, oh, yeah, this dude will be an instant starter. But now everyone's like, I don't know. So it's kind of this interesting dynamic because it could be that they're like, yeah, we like what we have in Ward. And then they look at Breeland and say, yeah, he's a number two corner. And they say, hey, here's Fuller. He's our number one corner.
Wait. Tell me who these people are that think Bashaud Breeland's not a starter. We're going to have conversations.
I don't know. People that seem dissatisfied with the Chiefs corner situation.
They're wrong.
Good Lord, man.
If anybody's not going to start for this team, it's Ward, not Breeland.
That's fair. That
by the way, just since they're doing this, I do want to mention Veach says that, they're having a press conference. So Veach said that special teams coordinator Dave Tobe had the biggest smile in the room with the Mecole Hardman selection.
Oh. Well,
says he's the closest he's seen to Devin Hester in a while. So,
oh,
there you go.
See you, Tyree.
Yeah.
We're not even going to talk about
no,
you.
No, I think they're going to basically pretend that he doesn't exist, which, I mean, fair enough. But so, the whole like trade for Patrick Peterson thing, if I sound a bit lukewarm on things, I am excited for Hardman. I think he might be able to do some things. I'm excited for Thornhill. I think he'll be able to do some things. I think they did a decent job overall. I like this draft sight unseen more than I liked last year's, at least so far. I just really thought they were going to trade for Pat Peterson. I really did. I really did. I thought right now I would be neck deep in Cardinals All 22, writing about how the Chiefs got out of the draft with a pair of all pro or at least Pro Bowl level players. And so that's where I'm just like a little like, what could have been?
It just feels to me like the Cardinals just don't want to let him go. They're clearly drafting behind him, but and he doesn't seem very happy. But
yeah,
well, I mean, they still have a second round pick next year.
They do. But it would be really unusual for teams to part with a veteran after the draft, and for a draft pick for next year, right?
Yeah, but hey,
it would be unusual, but I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, if Peterson continues his not showing up, I mean, that's going to be something that's going to become an issue at some point. So you have to wait and see if that really happens. Honestly, the thing that's going to be interesting to me and to see tomorrow specifically is, you know, with all these players that are still left out there that I didn't think that were possibly going to make it into the fourth round, does Kansas City go move a pick from next year to move up and get somebody? And I wouldn't normally say that that is something that I would really consider for a fourth round player. But if you're trying to go all in and you think that there's a piece out there that can help you this year, maybe you do that.
Why? Right? Why not? I mean, Chris Conley's going to get a lot of snaps. You could even get a comp pick out of him.
Yep.
Right.
Possibly. And there's going to be, I mean, there's going to be other guys. They have positions that they still need to fill. They still don't have a, and granted, it's a second tight end, but they still don't have a second tight end. I mean, they don't have any tight ends that I think could play the tight end position to be their number two.
You're not a Yelder?
No.
Okay.
And Blake Bell, sorry, but I don't think he makes the team. So, yeah, I don't think either of those guys are worthy of being the number two tight end. And especially when you look at the role that they're going to try to have to replace if something happens to Kelsey. And I get nobody's going to be able to replace Kelsey, but you still have to have something there.
Just saying, Foster Moreau is still out there.
Well, that's true. And Harris at least gave you athleticism that I don't know that they really have on the roster right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, we've droned on.
Lots of things that they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. But it's the draft, and that's what you do.
Right. So let's wrap it up real quick. One guy you guys want to see them take tomorrow, whether it's the six or they trade up or whatever. Yeah, the palette is yours. Who do you want? Okay.
I'm just, I don't even know at this point. Once I get to this point in the draft, I shrug a lot.
My guy is Julian Love. I'm hoping they can do something.
I didn't think he'd like Julian Love.
Sure.
You know, he's not excellent at any one thing, but he is a really well-rounded quarter that can play zone, can play man, can play press, can play off. He can play bail. I like him, and he's got a nose for the ball.
That sounds good to me.
By the way, speaking of CBs, Brevich says the Chiefs wanted a cornerback, but he expected most teams in the top of the second to take the prospects they valued, and that's what happened. So that's why they didn't go corner. So it sounds like they still want a corner. Makes you really wonder if they're going to make a move somewhere else. And honestly, maybe it's not Patrick Peterson. Maybe it's not Chris Harris. Maybe there's another corner out there that they can go trade for. You know, you just have to wait and see what happens after the draft.
I tell you what, I got Dan Sorensen and a hamburger for a fourth round pick.
Honestly, I really do like the thought of Foster Moreau in Kansas City, though. Mm. I don't know. It's really going to be hard for me to justify giving up a third round pick to go get a second tight end, but I guess maybe that's worth it if you think he can really help your team. And when you look at what Kansas City is going to have next year, because we're all in agreement, Hill's not going to be playing, so you're going to have Hardman. You're going to have Watkins, you're going to have Robinson, and whoever else the Chiefs wide receivers are. Dieter, I'm guessing, will be one of them. And maybe the kid from K-State, Pringle. But past that, I mean, you know, Kelsey, again, you don't have a second tight end. So, you know, that's going to really limit what they can do and what they like to do. So I do think that's a position of need.
Well, that's what we're thinking about day three, folks. Make sure you check back with us after it's all over with. So just for the record, Chris's guy is Foster Moreau. My guy is Julian Love, and Seth is Switzerland. So we will be back with you following day three. We might even wait, depending on how exhausted we are, and give you a huge show on Sunday. So we'll run it all down. Seth will have his reviews up at The Athletic. Chris will be over at Chiefs Digest, and you can see my stuff on RGR Football. Thank you for all of your attention. I know this is late, but we're going to get it out. And we will talk to you after day three.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.